Fullerton Investment Views, Quarterly Report, Q3 2026. Keep calm and carry on with discipline. Executive Summary. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is positive on global risk assets, driven by equities across Asia, that is Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China, and developed markets, that is U.S., Japan, and Germany, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Investors across global risk assets have been rewarded with very strong returns for a few years running, and many equity markets are now experiencing some de-rating forces as returns are tracking much lower than earnings performance. Not surprisingly, as the cycle matures and given the stellar performance this year, expectations for earnings growth in 2027 is generally weaker than 2026, especially across Asia. Against this backdrop, where risk asset returns may be slowing and normalizing, investment uncertainty has also increased, with bubble and crash fears rising, especially surrounding IT-linked investments. While equity returns remain positive year to date from most global IT sectors, the correction from the high around June was painful and drove a significant fall in risk appetite. Inflation worries returning, given the ongoing pressure on energy prices from the war in the Middle East. Investors still have no clarity on when the war will end, and bouts of volatility could strike back at any time. Excess liquidity for investment purposes has become tighter than otherwise, because strong economic activity is sucking up funding, while global real yields are higher. Monetary conditions are tighter across Asia, and the US dollar is supported. Given all these factors, the danger is that investors' risk appetite may collapse and drive a sharp fall in investment returns over the year ahead. In this Q3 Fullerton Investment View, we are downgrading our year-ahead outlook from bullish to positive for equities, but we remain confident on the prospect of a soft landing unfolding for investment returns. This is because global exceptionalism remains supported by the robust fundamentals of strong growth, productivity, consumption, investment, and trade. Driven by sustained investment and productivity gains, disinflation should return as oil prices eventually correct, and inflation can be sufficiently contained for a favorable investment environment. It is also especially constructive that the excess liquidity available for investing may be holding up as the change in U.S. money growth, that is the delta, has improved. This is at the same time as G4 government stimulus remains supportive, and there is still significant cash on the global sidelines yet to be invested. In addition, Fullerton's investment regime indicator signal remains in Goldilocks, and while it may be slowly evolving toward late cycle, both investment environments can potentially sustain positive returns. Section 1, Investment Environment and Risk Asset Outlook. With our expected return outlook slowing from bullish to positive, we believe a soft landing can be achieved for investors. Global equity investors have been rewarded with very strong returns for a few years running, and many equity markets are now experiencing de-rating forces as returns are tracking much lower than earnings performance. For example, the MSCI Asia ex-Japan returned 30% per annum in 2025, with just 6% per annum earnings growth, but this has reversed in 2026 YTD, where returns are tracking 25% with expected earnings growth a whopping 76% per annum. Across developed markets, DM, the build-up in derating pressure has been less intense, where MSCI World DM equities returned 22% PA in 2025, with 9% PA earnings growth versus returns of 15% YTD, with an expected earnings growth for 2026 of 25% PA. Forces impacting investors' risk appetite have certainly been mixed, and especially since June. debt issuance by global IT firms has increased significantly, and credit markets are likely to become more selective across future tech-related issuance, rewarding issuers with a clearer supply cadence and potentially constraining those without it. Global investors have become more concerned that IT sector investment spending may not monetize sufficiently with large gains in future discounted earnings. As a result, there have been some large and painful corrections across IT and AI-dependent equity markets this year, for example. South Korea's IT-dominant equity market, MSCI USD basis, reached a peak YTD gain of 140% in June before slumping to 50% in late July, and now having recovered back to 90% YTD, returns from the IT sector are down 85% from the YTD peak. US IT sector shares in the S&P 500 fell in June and July, and the alpha return for investors from the sector has faded this year. IT sector returns from China and Japan are still below the YTD peak. Returns from the Taiwan share market, MSCI USD basis, slumped to 40% YTD in late July before rebounding to 62% YTD. Taiwan's IT sector performance has also recovered back to around the neighborhood of the high this year. Nevertheless, AI-related stocks remain the backbone of global equity market performance, with significant alpha flowing to investors across many markets for several years. The best outcome for investors will be if IT-linked investment returns can slow gradually over time and achieve a soft landing. This is possible because the fundamental factors driving the investment environment remain robust, especially growth, productivity, and liquidity. What has also recovered favorably is the fear of missing out, FOMO, which has again helped drive rebounds on Wall Street, along with multiple indicators flashing some of the most bullish signals in years. Evidence-driven optimism reflects very strong earnings, productivity, investment, and spending, with the belief that the war in the Middle East will eventually resolve sufficiently to ease and normalize energy prices. The late July sell-off in IT-related equities was certainly painful, but investors have again been rewarded for buying market dips. From the value-to-growth perspective, as equity valuations have generally fallen back significantly, the outlook could return to bullish, and much depends on how risk appetite unfolds. It is still much higher than last year, but may not be sufficient to avoid the transition to a late-cycle investment regime, under Fullerton's internal classification methodology, in 2027. Significant concerns surrounding the war in the Middle East continue to hang over financial markets. But investors seem to be adapting as the fear index and inflation expectations remain low. Around 2 weeks after the 9th of July 2026 interim truce, the war in the Middle East intensified. The US military launched another round of airstrikes, prompting Iran to attack neighboring Arab countries that host US military installations. On 26 July, Yemen's Iran-aligned Houthis attacked Saudi oil infrastructure along the Red Sea coast, while the US again attacked multiple targets in Iran, including command centers and drone facilities. By August 10th, Iran declared it was nearing a final agreement with Oman to open the Strait of Hormuz. But Iran also declared that the US must provide compensation and end all sanctions. US President Trump rebutted that Iran instead must pay compensation for people killed across all wars, attacks, and protests. As of August 16th, Iran and the US remain at loggerheads over efforts to agree to a permanent end to the war in the Gulf, and the US reiterated that it could maintain a naval blockade of Iran, indefinitely creating significant economic pressure on Tehran. After 125 years of geopolitical stress events, the risks today are significantly above average. But Fullerton remains optimistic, as we explained in detail in our Q2 investment view. Because markets and investors are adapting and surges in fear and disruptions to risk asset returns may not prove painful nor long-lasting, the investor fear index remains very low. Fullerton has shown evidence before that when geopolitical shocks hit, any adverse impacts can be limited, and then markets often return to underlying trends. The optimal way to navigate all potential stresses remains active management of a well-diversified portfolio and to seek downside protection when risks hit. What remains very positive and important is that generalized inflation, especially across services, is stable and bond market inflation expectations remain low. In addition, the threat of any significant and sustained spillover effects into generalized inflation remains much less than the past because money growth is much weaker. Even as the war in the Middle East is now more intense, the oil price risk premium is still much lower than over March/April. Throughout the war in the Middle East, the market has always expected oil prices to fall back over time, and the downward sloping futures curve remains a very positive belief that the global economy can avoid any painful collapse in demand. Even as the war is proving prolonged and more intense, the rise in oil prices this time remains very different from the March/April 2026 shock because there is no extra risk premium on oil from the Middle East, nor any large premium for immediate/cash delivery, that is, the Brent Sullom VO price is contained. The lack of any extra risk premium on energy from the Middle East is very positive and suggests that traders still foresee oil flowing well enough across all major routes to meet global demand. What is unfolding so far is a rising generic shock risk premium pushing all oil prices up toward $100 per barrel. And forward-looking financial markets continue to expect the forward oil price curve to eventually normalize to become similar to the forward pricing curve of 2 years ago. The most productive countries and those with adaptable energy supply chains can continue to navigate this war-driven adverse supply shock very well. The US, Germany, Japan, South Korea, China, Taiwan, and Singapore all have fundamental strengths that can help them defend growth and contain inflation. Fullerton also remains sanguine on the potential impacts of new tariffs. On Friday, July the 24th, 2026 President Trump imposed new tariffs of 10% and 12.5% on goods from 60 trading partners, just as the temporary 10% global tariffs expired. The new tariffs cover 99.4% of US imports, but include numerous product exemptions, such as oil and gas, fertilizer, and certain food items. Fullerton's view remains unchanged that such tariffs will not derail global trade, growth, nor equity market performance. Because the aggregate average US tariff rate remains single digits after this action and well below the double-digit peak associated with Liberation Day in 2025, inflation impacts should not be significant, but there may be some modest support for US fiscal revenues. Fullerton's global factors that drive investment returns remain in Goldilocks. Global growth and liquidity, led by the US and China, remain the strongest above trend for this cycle. Global growth is very strong, and at 2 standard deviations above average, it is a 20-year high, driven by the surge in global trade, along with robust consumption and investment spending. At the same time, global generalized inflation is contained and not a significant threat to the investment environment. The outlook can remain positive for investors as long as global growth remains strong and with risk appetite holding up. Nominal GDP growth, which tends to have a solid correlation with corporate earnings performance, is tracking at least 4 to 6% per annum for most countries. Very strong global trade growth has fallen back to trend as we expected, while industrial production should rebound soon. Even with the prolonged war in the Middle East, downward pressures on global growth have not emerged, and economic activity data have persistently surprised the consensus on the upside, ex-China. the overall macro environment should continue to provide a solid backstop, even as earnings growth is expected to slow across key markets into 2027. Money and liquidity growth, along with bank loans in the US, remains consistent with strong economic activity and spending across key countries. However, as we have emphasized for a while, because of possible crowding out from the strength of the Main Street economy, there may be less than otherwise excess liquidity for investment purposes. Monetary conditions are generally tighter across Europe and Asia, and the demand for foreign funding by the US has fallen significantly, which has helped support the US dollar. That is, the US current account deficit is now a six-year low. Simply put, global economic activity is running two standard deviations above its trend growth, while liquidity growth is just one standard deviation above trend. As a result, economic growth is sucking up significant liquidity and raising the marginal cost of an extra dollar for investing purposes. All that said, it is especially constructive that the excess liquidity available for investing may be holding up as the change in US money growth, that is the delta, has improved. Gain in the acceleration churn of US monetary support correlates well with valuation changes across US equities, and it is a very favorable signal that a positive return outlook can be sustained. At the same time, there is still significant supports from additional dry powder for investing, given very strong balance sheets across households and firms, and from ongoing policy stimulus across the G4 countries. When we combine our four global macro factors together, that is global growth, liquidity, inflation, and risk appetite, Fullerton's investment regime indicator is in Goldilocks, with a 69% probability signal, and seems to be slowly evolving toward late cycle, a 28% probability signal. As we have emphasized previously, this can be a win-win for investors because returns can be very favorable under either regime. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is positive on global risk assets driven by equities across Asia, that is Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China, and developed markets, that is US, Japan, and Germany, with a positive outlook for fixed income returns. Section 2, equities. The key reasons we have a positive outlook for equity returns is strong earnings growth, supportive liquidity, and risk appetite holding. For the next 12 months, Fullerton is positive on equities across developed markets, that is US, Japan, and Germany, and Asia, that is Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China. Even as many equity markets continue to adjust to derating forces this year, as returns track below earnings growth, we believe a soft landing for investment returns can still unfold, largely because global GDP and earnings growth could remain strong. Real yields and the cost of capital is higher, but this should not derail corporate performance because debt servicing costs remain very low. We believe that the US can lead developed markets, DM, with earnings growth reaching around 20% per annum in 2027. While Asia, ex-Japan, is likely to track around 25% per annum earnings growth in 2027, driven by significant contributions from South Korea, Taiwan, and China. The US is sustaining one of the strongest productivity performances in the world, while its real unit production costs are falling, and corporate profits, as a share of GDP, have reached the highest level ever recorded in US history, and the highest share of GDP in the world. Japan's productivity growth performance is second only to the US, and Japan's equity market can remain a strong source of alpha for investors. The weak yen exchange rate is only a significant headwind for equity market performance if it creates much higher inflation above Japan's trading partners. And that has never happened in Japan because productivity gains are so dominant. We are also positive on Germany's utilities, industrials, and financials as they remain benefactors of the infrastructure stimulus and productivity rebuild. Across Asia, we continue to like Singapore, South Korea, Taiwan, and China, as each market should continue to benefit from robust global demand, especially for IT and higher value-added manufacturing, strong earnings, solid export prices, and rising competitiveness. South Korea's equity market is evolving through an unprecedented normalization process that is from extremely high returns since last year, which can be volatile and painful, in particular for investors with stretched exposures. Equity returns must slow because South Korea's earnings growth expectations for 2027 are only 36%, which is almost 10 times smaller than 2026, but the underlying strength of corporate fundamentals and policy reforms, for example, South Korea's Corporate Value Up program, suggest a soft landing remains feasible. Singapore continues to navigate the stress created by the prolonged war in the Middle East very well. Singapore's real GDP growth remains very strong at 5.9% per annum in Q2 2026, while CPI inflation is very well contained at 1.9% per annum for June. Alpha from Singapore's financial sector has surged this year with strong supports from investment deals and solid loan growth. Small cap returns have been very strong and have eased a bit into 2H26, while mid caps lag but are stable. The Singapore equity market continues to re-rate higher, with returns tracking 25% per annum, while earnings growth expectations remain single digits. For most of 2026, valuations have never been a significant headwind to the performance of any equity market, because earnings growth has been so strong. The concern for investors is not being sufficiently compensated for earnings, and then how that may drive rotations and further impact positioning over time. It remains crucial for investors to appreciate that finding alpha remains a global search. Firms rising to the top of their peer group are driven by productivity-enhanced earnings, investment, and sustained demand. These creative leaders will continue to be found across many different sectors and countries. Fullerton's view is that while equity returns may be normalizing, the underlying earnings backdrop remains resilient, and several long-term alpha enablers are still firmly in place. We have identified five of such key alpha sources. Most importantly, the leading sources of alpha by sector so far this year continue to align very well with many of Fullerton's investment themes. That is why it is vital for investors to harmonize their top-down strategies with active management and stock selection. The top sources of alpha, YTD, have been IT, financials, energy, utilities, industrials, and healthcare, which is consistent with Fullerton's investment themes of AI diffusion to financials and healthcare and beyond the US, manufacturing prowess, industrials, winners take all, and policy beneficiaries, energy, utilities. The AI revolution moves into diffusion and remains a balancing act for seeking alpha. The impacts from AI and related technologies, along with demands across the metaverse, have years to run. Fullerton has done a deep dive investment research paper into how new technology can feed through the macro economy to increase productivity, lower costs and inflation, and boost earnings. There is a very important balancing act for seeking sustainable alpha, with positive forces from AI for sector productivity, especially across IT, healthcare, and financials, and earnings, but disruptive forces for some sectors that may experience demand destruction and job losses. That is precisely why active stock selection remains critical, because not everything associated with AI or technology will necessarily deliver sustainable returns, even with the painful correction over June for global IT sector returns. Alpha remains strong across key Asian markets like Japan, South Korea, and China. Alpha from the US IT sector has faded this year, in part because the cycle is maturing and a lot of good news has been priced in. Nevertheless, USIT has recovered very well from the sharp sell-off in June, while across Asia, IT sector performance is still lagging from the YTD peak. The IT sector has become much more competitive, globally interrelated and interdependent, which has seen extremely high alpha slip and some price actions causing spillover effects across the board, regardless of whether it's warranted or not from the fundamental perspective. China is leading the US and the world in expenditure on research and development, has significant global market share in key high-tech industries, as well as solid alpha performance from IT sector stocks YTD, along with Japan. China's policymakers have made it a priority to continue to enhance spending on R&D, and the global IT sector is likely to continue to navigate such competition and drive alpha opportunities for investors. For example, on July 27, 2026, the shares of China's CXMT Corp surged nearly 470% at their Shanghai debut, marking Asia's biggest IPO this year, and catapulting the chipmaker to the top of China's stock market by valuation, overtaking the Industrial and Commercial Bank of China. Such strong performance is consistent with investors seeking to diversify their global IT sector alpha exposures and recognize that the fundamentals across the sector can still be very rewarding. Across tech/IT, the first big wave of advance from the AI theme may be maturing and impacts are becoming more dispersed. The beneficiaries and even those adversely impacted from AI are disproportionate. Gains are broadening away from the chip makers to related industries such as the neo-cloud players, the pick-and-shovel component manufacturers, to AI data centers along the supply chain, as well as to power suppliers. Conversely, other subsectors in tech like the software as a service, SaaS players, may be increasingly under pressure with AI being able to automate many of their services. The impact of AI and related technologies is broadening, increasing productivity, lowering costs, and supporting earnings. But investment implications remain more nuanced than simply buying AI winners or chip makers. Fullerton has consistently emphasized that while AI can create earnings tailwinds in sectors such as IT, healthcare, and financials, it can also disrupt incumbent business models and create demand destruction elsewhere. Alpha opportunities across the beneficiaries of disruptions. A second structural opportunity lies in disruptions, not disruptive upheaval for its own sake, but transformative forces and change that reshapes value chains, redistributes margins, and creates new victors. Our framework points to disruption beneficiaries in areas such as domestic manufacturing from re-onshoring trends and the energy transition, where capital spending, supply chain rewiring, and new policy priorities are altering the competitive dynamics. The most productive countries and businesses that are most adaptable to changing supply chain and energy structures are better placed to navigate a volatile and disruptive environment. For active investors, this matters because disruption rarely lifts all participants equally. It tends to reward readily positioned businesses with the technology, balance sheet strength, and execution capability that can adapt quickly, while leaving weaker incumbents exposed to pricing pressure, stranded assets, or slower growth. It is therefore incumbent on active managers to identify the winners and losers. Winners take all and policy beneficiaries are key features of global exceptionalism, driving alpha for investors. Our winners take all theme reflects the prospect that industry leaders with scale, pricing power, intellectual property, or structural advantages can continue to pull away from weaker peers. This is especially relevant in a more demanding market where competition for liquidity is more intense and investors are becoming more selective. Policy beneficiaries remain important as global fiscal and industrial policies are impacting corporate investment decisions and capital flows. Government spending remains significant across China, the US, Japan and Germany. And it almost always gives some support to investor confidence and alpha across the sectors that benefit directly. One of the latest developments that is most exciting for global investors is Japan's public-private partnership-based PPP investment plan. It is an unprecedented spend in duration and magnitude, with supports targeted across 17 sectors, including AI, quantum technology, energy, healthcare, and entertainment. Japan is already the second most productive economy in the world, behind the US. And like the US, corporate profits are record highs as a share of GDP. Additionally, government-led initiates and reforms such as South Korea's Corporate Value Up program and Singapore's Equity Market Development program are galvanizing investor interest. Investors are being rewarded as the Singapore equity market continues to re-rate higher with returns YTD in excess of expected earnings growth. Consumers are also becoming more discerning. The final structural theme in our framework is lifestyle beneficiaries. Consumption preferences are shifting towards experiences, especially tourism, convenience, well-being, and more emotionally resonant spending. At the same time, healthcare demand is also changing as populations age and as consumers place greater emphasis on quality of life, prevention, and personalized care. For global equity investors, this opens opportunities across selected consumer and healthcare names that meet such consumer demands, and businesses who can capture durable demand rather than models that rely on cyclical spending. Section 3, fixed income. Sustainably higher yields are positive, but the cycle keeps active management crucial. Our core investment theme remains the Great Reset, where this realpolitik world results in the discount factor for all risk asset returns, the bond yield, repricing across key markets to settle at levels not seen since before the GFC 2008/09. Such yields are higher than many investors are accustomed to, but they can be rewarding and may be a fairer reflection of the risks associated with leverage and geopolitical uncertainties. With the prolonged war in the Middle East, bond markets have lurched from fears that economic activity will fall with the adverse global supply shock that is falling yields, rising bond returns, to worries about high inflation, that is rising yields, falling bond returns. For investors, it reinforces just how critical active management remains, because fixed income returns can cycle painfully, even if underpinned by higher than otherwise interest rates. Because the dominant driver of higher nominal yields this year has been increases in the real yield, rather than significant worries about inflation, the higher cost of capital may not prove a significant headwind to growth and equity market performance if underlying demand and spending remains strong. What may also provide some cushion to the performance of US corporates is that their net interest burden is around record lows at just 4.5 cents in the dollar of profit. Further, as the rise in US real yield has been significant, any overshooting may be avoided because net national savings are also improving, as reflected in the smaller US current account deficit. In addition, US bond market liquidity is still sufficiently above the lows that would typically correlate with a 5% per annum or higher 10-year nominal yield. Global central banks were split on tightening monetary conditions for a war-driven oil price shock, and now peak expected tightness may have been reached. The peak of expectations for tighter monetary conditions for this cycle is likely behind us and should allow central banks to remain patient and data-dependent. As higher energy prices tended to push up generalized inflation across Asia, monetary conditions have tightened, with the Bank of Japan, BOJ, Bank of Korea, Bank Indonesia, and Banco Central ng Pilipinas, all hiking their respective policy rates, and the Monetary Authority of Singapore, MAS, adopted a steeper slope for its currency policy band. Across developed markets, the energy-driven surge in inflation sparked rate hikes by the European Central Bank ECB, the Reserve Bank of New Zealand, RBNZ, and the Reserve Bank of Australia, RBA. The US Fed has remained an outlier, along with the Bank of England, the Bank of Canada, the Riksbank, and the Swiss National Bank, in not hiking the policy rate. Because for the US, while energy prices have surged and pushed PCE inflation, the Fed's 2% per annum target, as high as 4.1% YOY in May, US services inflation, a key driver of generalized inflation, has remained stable. The new Fed chairman, Kevin Warsh, said during his congressional testimony that his job is to make sure any short-term changes in particular prices do not broaden out. So far, the Fed will be encouraged that services inflation at around 70% of aggregate price pressures remains contained. What is also very positive is that US bond market inflation expectations, 1 year ahead and beyond, are around 2.5% per annum or lower. And many investors appreciate that trying to fight higher oil prices, a supply-side shock driven by war, with rate hikes can be ineffective. Strong US productivity growth coupled with investment continues to push down real unit production costs. The aggregate cost of all investment is still slipping in the US, and this should continue to give significant cushion against any sustained high inflation, especially if driven by excess demand. Of course, AI and IT-related inflation has surged in the US to 30% YOY, but its weight in consumer spending is small, and aggregate goods price inflation is falling regardless. Being data-dependent brings some flexibility because with oil prices still under pressure, inflation may not continue to correct rapidly. From the Fed's 17th June forecasts, US PCE inflation at 3.7% YOY June has already fallen much faster than the Fed anticipated, with its 3.6% YOY assumed by December 2026. This may give some policy cushion because with oil prices still under pressure, with the prolonged war in the Middle East, inflation may not continue to correct rapidly. From the forward guidance assumptions the Fed's presented in June, they may not hike rates in 2026, even if US inflation stalls for the rest of the year, at 3.6% YOY, where it was in June, and US forward Fed policy rate market pricing agrees. The Fed under Chairman Kevin Warsh will likely be a significant regime shift, and communications could prove a learning curve. We explained the potential regime shift in Fed policy in detail in our Q1 2026 Fullerton Investment Views. Sure enough, Kevin Warsh announced the sweeping changes he is ushering in with the launch of 5 key task forces to enhance how the Fed controls PCE inflation at 2% per annum. 1. Communications. 2. Balance sheet policies. 3. Utilization of data. 4. Productivity and jobs, and 5. Drivers of inflation, i.e. the framework of the inflation process. Fed communications may be an area where change is uncertain and may have the most impact the soonest. For example, the Fed's huge jump in its expected inflation for 2026, from March to June, was very hawkish, and yet the FOMC did not raise the policy rate. Seldom would a 1% per annum increase in the Fed's inflation expectation, when inflation is already well above target, come without rate hikes. With potentially less direct Fed communications and forward guidance, the market may continue to struggle for a while to evaluate the new regime. Our positive outlook for fixed income, carry remains the anchor. Against the global macro backdrop, credit markets should remain supported by resilient fundamentals and favourable technicals. With valuations less reliant on further spread tightening, carry is likely to remain a key contributor to investment returns. Global credit can benefit from resilient corporate fundamentals and healthy investor demand. Strong inflows are helping to absorb elevated primary issuance, including a substantial pipeline from the technology, media, and telecommunications sector. While this supply may limit the potential for significant spread compression, it also reflects borrowers' continued access to markets. The combination of income, balance sheet resilience, and dependable demand should keep the asset class well supported. Corporate credit across Asia can sustain its positive fundamentals and favorable market technicals. Limited headwinds for supply should help ensure that new issuance remains well absorbed, particularly where issuers offer compelling carry and high-quality balance sheets. We expect the bulk of returns to come from carry rather than significant spread compression, making issuer selection and duration management important. Overall macro and bottom-up fundamentals across the region remain positive, but investment opportunities are more expensive. Singapore dollar credit is likely to remain underpinned by high-quality corporate fundamentals, low issuance, and resilient domestic demand. Scarce supply can continue to provide technical support, while the strength of local balance sheets ensures very low default rates. Investors are likely to be rewarded with reliable income streams, relative value, and credit quality, rather than aggressive spread tightening. Asia's local currency markets should continue to benefit from capital inflows and attractive carry. Regional rate hike expectations may also have peaked, reducing a key source of pressure on local bond markets. Performance is likely to remain differentiated, however, with currencies, domestic inflation, and central bank credibility continuing to determine the relative attractiveness of individual markets. Singapore Government Securities, SGS, especially as geopolitical fears and uncertainties remain significant, should be supported by safe haven demand, the strong currency, and favorable supply dynamics. The wide SGS-UST yield differential may temper the scope for further outperformance relative to US Treasuries, but the broader backdrop remains constructive. Strong domestic institutional demand and Singapore's robust macroeconomic fundamentals should continue to underpin the market, particularly during periods of heightened global volatility. We expect Singapore rates, MAS three-month bills, to remain resilient as the normalization in liquidity growth has eased the downside pressures. The US dollar can remain supported and range-bound around its fair value. As the US twin deficits have improved, that is, the fiscal deficit is lower at 5.2% of GDP, and the current account deficit is around its historic average, fundamental valuation metrics also show that the US dollar DXY index remains around its fair value. China remains an anchor of stability for investors across Asia, and China's policymakers have allowed some modest RMB appreciation, reflecting the strong capital inflows, driving the current account surplus much higher, that is around a 15-year high at 3.7% of GDP. A joint US-Japan policymakers' intervention in currency markets to buy yen and sell US dollars to fight off speculative bets against the JPY seems to have worked. A key trigger for the intervention was reportedly financial stability concerns surrounding the surge in speculative investment, net, short positions in the yen, which reached highs not seen since the global financial market flash crash of August 2024, when yen carry trades unwound painfully. After this intervention, data at the close of 7th August 2026 showed that speculative short positions in the JPY had fallen by around 70%. If the Bank of Japan, BOJ, makes further hikes to its policy rate, as is expected by financial markets, then that may help ensure that speculative bets against the yen remain contained. The Singapore dollar should remain strong. Fullerton believes that the Singapore dollar can remain strong as it continues its cycling around the top of the Monetary Authority of Singapore's MAS, policy band currency basket. Against the US dollar, which has the largest weight in the policy basket, it may remain broadly stable as the MAS is likely to want to avoid policy being too tight for too long, such that growth becomes threatened and as inflation remains very low. gold remains a valuable diversifier and hedge for geopolitical shocks. Gold has proved a very useful hedge in a balanced portfolio, especially against geopolitical fears, but it often depends on US dollar weakness. With gold prices falling back from their highs, it has allowed investors a more favorable entry point, and the war in the Middle East is likely to continue to drive geopolitical fears and upside for gold prices. Disclaimer: no offer or invitation is considered to be made if such offer is not authorized or permitted. This is not the basis for any contract to deal in any security or instrument, or for Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 200312672W, Fullerton, or its affiliates to enter into or arrange any type of transaction. Any investments made are not obligations of, deposits in, or guaranteed by Fullerton. The information contained herein has been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but has not been independently verified. Although Fullerton Fund Management Company Limited, UEN 200312672W, Fullerton, believes it to be fair and not misleading. Such information is solely indicative and may be subject to modification from time to time. The contents herein may be amended without notice. Fullerton, its affiliates and their directors and employees do not accept any liability from the use of this publication. Neither MSCI nor any other party involved in or related to compiling, computing or creating the MSCI data makes any express or implied warranties or representations with respect to such data or the results to be obtained by the use thereof. And all such parties hereby expressly disclaim all warranties of originality, accuracy, completeness, merchantability, or fitness for a particular purpose with respect to any of such data. Without limiting any of the foregoing, in no event shall MSCI, any of its affiliates, or any third party involved in or related to compiling, computing, or creating the data have any liability for any direct, indirect, special, punitive, consequential, or any other damages, including lost profits, even if notified of the possibility of such damages. No further distribution or dissemination of the MSCI data is permitted without MSCI's express written consent. Please refer to https://www.fullertonfund.com/use-of-third-party-data-information/4. Disclaimers on use of data from third parties.